Last week, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano waived the Jones Act for the Russian tanker Renda so it could transport gasoline from Unalaska to icebound Nome. Among other things, the Jones Act says foreign-flagged vessels can't transport cargo between U.S. ports. Napolitano got around it by declaring the delivery a matter of national security. But yesterday, KUCB reporter Stephanie Joyce discovered another provision of the Jones Act, one that says foreign-flagged vessels can't transport passengers between U.S. ports. She has the story.
Alaska Marine pilot Pete Gray brought up the idea of having me ride the Renda to Nome as the ship was docking to take on fuel.
I think you should come. Just come along. If that's okay, I think we should talk about this.
To my surprise, Mikhail Shestakov, the representative for Vitus Marine who contracted the ship, agreed.
I think Captain here is a spare room. Am I?
Seriously?
But when the captain said yes, my journalistic skepticism kicked in. Surely I couldn't just jump aboard a Russian tanker and sail to the Arctic. I ran through a mental list of potential snafus. But the reason that didn't occur to me, and that ultimately got me kicked off the ship in the wee hours of the morning before its departure, was the Jones Act. It's a huge piece of legislation that covers everything from vessel documentation to labor rights. But obviously, I was most interested in why the passenger part was enacted. Here's maritime lawyer Joe Stacey.
It was meant to be a pro-American industry and pro-American labor law.
He went on to say that when the law passed in 1920, Congress was trying to protect stateside shipbuilding and labor by requiring vessels operating in U.S. waters be built, flagged, and crewed by Americans. And many say it still does that. Ed Welch is legislative director for the Passenger Vessel Association, a trade group representing mostly U.S.-flagged vessels.
It ensures that our shipyards are building our ferries, our small cruise ships, our excursion boats. I mean, our people are doing that.
Welch added that it makes sure vessels operating in U.S. waters comply with U.S. laws, including safety and wage laws. That's true for vessels subject to the Jones Act, but it turns out that a lot of ships go to some pretty extreme lengths to avoid the Jones Act altogether. Take, for example, all of the big cruise ships that visit Alaska. None of them are built or flagged in the U.S., and they aren't crewed by Americans. So how do they get around the Jones Act? Well, one way is by leaving from a foreign port. If you've ever wondered why most Alaskan cruises start in Vancouver, now you know. By leaving from a foreign port, the cruise lines aren't held to the Jones Act, and they can drop off passengers in U.S. ports without breaking the law. It seemed like I was going to be able to skirt the Jones Act, too, until the last minute. But Customs and Border Protection caught my name on the passenger manifest for the Renda. CPB officer Kelly Lind says it's pretty rare for him to have to drag out the passenger provision, since it's mostly cargo ships that pass through in Alaska. But he added that he doesn't make exceptions.
If I would have allowed you to board the vessel and go to Nome, then, like I said, the next time a captain or something asks if his girlfriend can do the same thing, I say no. And even though they wouldn't know that I probably allowed you to do what they were asking, I would know that, well, I allowed one person to do this. How can I turn around and tell this guy that no?
I talked to one expert who told me the Jones Act shouldn't really apply to non-paying passengers. But no matter, I'm already off the Renda, forced, like everyone else, to watch the historic story play out from dry land. Still in Unalaska, I'm Stephanie Joyce.